What's happening, folks? It's your boy, Fantasy Football Lord, a.k.a. Lawrence Jackson Jr. You're now tuned in to the Lord Don't Lose podcast. All right, man, we back up in this thing again. I'm going to do me a nice little solo show today. I had guests on the past several times, but this one I kind of want to tackle it myself, you know what I'm saying? This episode is going to be geared more towards real football, but obviously I'm not going to just deprive y'all of the fantasy football info. I'm going to do a little mock draft over this microphone just to give you an idea or where I would like to take some players. I'm going to talk about these running back holdouts. Melvin Gordon already not showing up to camp. Zeke may not show up to camp. And this may be a result of what Le'Veon Bell started last year. And I'll talk about why this could be a good thing. I'm also going to talk about, for all my Madden players out there, I'm going to touch a little bit on these Madden ratings. Y'all heard all the players talking about it, because most of them pissed about their rating. I'm going to get into that a little bit, mainly the quarterbacks, because it's just some disrespect going on. And then what I'm also going to touch on is, are these Instagram videos or these social media videos of these athletes working out, will that influence where you draft a player this year in fantasy football? So I guess the first thing I'll talk about is that, since I'm on that right now. Recently, we've seen the George Kittle video. He working out. He got the man bun going. We already know he broke out last season. He and everybody top three tight ends, including mine, even though I kind of break it up there with Evan Ingram. He had him a good work. He got a good little workout going on. Got his shirt off. He all buffed up and stuff, showing the little muscles. Does that influence you? Like, does that make him, if you got him as your third best tight end, does that make him go to your first tight end? Because you see him working hard. Me personally, I don't know. I don't know. When you see Antonio Brown catching them bricks, then that make you think a second. Earlier, a few months ago, I said AB was going to shrivel up. I said Mr. Big Chest going to shrivel up this season. Then this dude out here catching bricks, dropping them and catching them before they even hit the ground, and slapping the dude hand in between behind that drop. I got AB right now, my top 10 at number 10, because I said he was not gonna finish inside the top 10, so I had to put him in my top 10. But then I seen dude catching some bricks. I might have to bump him up a little, just like I had to bump up Odell a little bit when he cut them ramen noodles up off his head. I had to bump him up because it let me know that he taking that thing serious this year. Like, he, guys like AB, Odell, they know you're doubting them. And that do something to a professional athlete. That make him want to get even more, because it make him even more hungry. But when you see him working out, does that influence your draft? AB has been a first-round pick in fantasy drafts for the past, I don't know, 5-6 years, something like that, and just been producing like crazy. Now that he catching bricks out here with some loafers, this man out here catching bricks in some Gucci loafers, so I don't know what kind of shoes he wore, but they were fancy though. They were fancy. Like, I think that's just to show you, like, hey, I do this no matter what. I put these loafers on, I put these here khaki shorts on, and I catch bricks. Does that affect you? For what, in AB case, it damn well might. It might make me push him up a little bit in my rankings. George Kittle, he already as high as he gonna get for me. I have Evan Ingram as the number two tight end, with George Kittle as three. And I ain't moving him up because he was working out with a man bun. Like, he's going to be good. Still the best. He's the best receiver on the 49ers right now. So I'm not saying he will be bad, but I'm just saying his social media workouts won't influence me to pick him any higher. I'd rather wait for Evan Ingram. But if you want your receivers to be able to catch some bricks, maybe AB moves up into the later part of the first round for you. He's still AB. He just on the Raiders now. That's the thing. That's why he dropped, because he went from Big Ben to Derek Carr. Big Ben much more of a deep ball thrower. But that's that. I just wanted to throw that out there just to see if, because all the athletes is working hard. You know what I'm saying? They all working hard. But it's then when you get them with the shirt off and they sweating it, you make it look like they're working a little bit harder than the next guy. But catching bricks, like, that's some Jerry Rice type stuff right there, man. Moving along, speaking of Antonio Brown, former teammate of Antonio Brown, now with the New York Jets, Le'Veon Bell, didn't play a single snap last year, preseason or regular season. Didn't catch one pass. Didn't take one handoff. Did nothing. Took a contract with the Jets, $13 million a year. Some people are laughing at him. I don't know why. Saying, "Hi, you lost money with the Steelers. What they would have paid you?" Da 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 da. This man getting paid $13 million a year at a position that they don't want to pay you at. They don't want to pay running backs. The guy that runs with the football more than anybody, and a bell cow running back at that, getting $13 million a year, second highest paid running back in the league to Todd Gurley currently. Held out last year. We all know about that. You guys drafted him last year in your first round. Held out hope. Some of you didn't. Most of you didn't get James Conner, but somebody else in your league did. Guys with Le'Veon Bell held out hope. Some of you traded him. Some of you took that bait. it was understood, because none of us really knew when he was coming back. Nobody knew. But then week nine came last year. And there was some talk of him coming back. Nope, he ain't come back. He felt he was done wrong, and he sat out the season. He stayed healthy. Now he's with a new team, making $13 million a year at running back, and you people are laughing at him. What you making a year after sitting out a year of work? What are you making? Yeah, I thought so. Talking about he lost. You telling this man what to do with it? Boy, stop. Let me move on. Anywho, that he may be a pioneer of some sorts, because we got two running backs now. One who's already holding out, one threatening to hold out. The one who already holding out, Chargers running back Melvin Gordon, who's a good back, and then Ezekiel Elliott, who may hold out, Dallas Cowboys, who could be one of the all-time greats, just based on stats alone. Since he's entered the league, he's averaging 101 yards a game. That's easily the best in the 3 years he's been in the league. And probably the only reason he didn't lead the league in rushing his second year is because he was suspended for 6 games, and he still ran for 983 yards. The other 2 years, he led the league in rushing. We all know he's special, different type of talent. And with 2 years left on his contract, he's threatening to hold out. And to be honest, I think, and just like Le'Veon Bell, I think that he should. Same with Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon may not be the natural talent that Ezekiel Elliott is, but that's your bell cow back. This is the guy you giving the ball to 20 times a game, and you running his knees into the ground. They carry the ball more than anybody. Did you hear when I said that? But they're getting paid the least amongst. Like, when you go to the top players in the game, like the top D tackle is getting more than a running back. Top receiver, more than a running back. Top corner, more than a running back. Every position except like kicker and punter, I think. And these are the guys you want to score your touchdowns because you give them the ball the most. So Le'Veon Bell could be some sort of running back pioneer. Guys are starting to know their value. They've always knew, but with the league turning into a passing game, owners and GMs and even coaches have kind of devalued the position. Now, the thing about a bell cow running back that makes him special, when you don't have this is a pro for having a three-down running back. When you got two guys, that are subbing in and out, two-down back than a pass-catching back, you're more predictable. When you got a guy that could do all three and you could leave him on the field on third and long, you're less predictable. You could run a draw, catch him by surprise. But people don't think about that, though. That's why these guys are important. Now, like I said, Gordon may not be the greatest of all-time talent, but he's a very good back, and he's been productive when he's been in the game. Yeah, he's been hurt, but he's played a healthy amount of games for the amount of injuries that he's sustained. Started 52 out of a possible 55 games. But he's their workhorse, so why wouldn't you want to compensate him? Because you're scared he's going to get hurt? Well, yeah, he's got a better chance of getting hurt if you're giving him the ball every damn play. Like, I'm for the running backs getting paid, as you could tell. Zeke hasn't held out yet. He's saying he will. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe Jerry talk him into something. I don't know. But it's just crazy, man, how they don't want to pay these guys to tote the rock more than anybody in football. They score all the touchdowns, they run all the runs, and they catch a lot of passes. But you want to pay on the leash. You want to get guys like Melvin Gordon, Ezekiel Elliott, who are first-round picks. Then guess what? They have that fifth-year option. Then they could get franchise tagged after that. That's 6 years without a big contract. That is robbery for running backs. And it's a shame that it worked like that, but it does. They want to run these elite running backs into the ground, give them 300 to 400 touches in the season, and then say, to hell with you. That's what they do. That's what they doing to these guys. So we'll see. The Chargers got Justin Jackson and Austin Eckler to back them up. I'm not going out and thinking I'm going to get some great value in fantasy with that. But if Melvin Gordon's not around, then you got to look at him. But he's certainly not replacing his draft status. Zeke, that offense moves with the Cowboys offense don't move without Zeke. He is probably the most important running back to his team in the league. But they won't pay him. I mean, such is life. Zeke will be 20. Zeke just turned 24. I believe yesterday. Happy birthday, Zeke. He's got nothing to lose by sitting out a year. If Bell could do it at age 27. Zeke has nothing to lose. Melvin Gordon, 26. He doesn't have anything to lose. They're both still young. Don't take these holdouts lightly. Don't assume that they're just going to show up week one and play. We assumed last year with Le'Veon Bell, and guess what? You drafted him for no reason. But more importantly, they just used him up. then one pay him. Don't take these guys holding out lightly. Don't assume they'll be there to play. As far as drafting them in fantasy, me personally, I'm hoping, I'm hoping I get a top three pick, so I don't have to worry about taking a Zeke. But I, for some reason, I kind of think Zeke will end up being there. Melvin Gordon, we might be in for the long haul with that one, but we'll see. This is, you never know. I probably won't draft Melvin Gordon. I'm just not even going to deal with that. There's other guys, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Joe Mixon, whoever you like. Go look at my rankings on my Instagram page. It'll show you who I like, man. But just don't take it lightly. Don't assume they're going to play. Or else you draft the guy, your first round pick, gone. And that's all I really got to say about that. Whew. All right. That's a lot of talk about running backs. I'll talk about quarterbacks now. But not like quarterbacks in real life. Talk about video game rating quarterback. Just real quick from my Madden folks. Everybody play Madden. The NFL players play Madden. A lot of the NFL players wasn't satisfied with their Madden rating. The most famous one is Leonard Fournette, which led to them creating jobs called Madden adjusters, guys who go to the games and the practices and stand out there and evaluate them and rate them. Some of the players' reactions is funny. Some of them ain't even warranted. But as a Madden player, I am a Madden player still. And if you ever trying to see me in that, you know, holler at me. We'll get a little game in or whatever. I don't have a problem with most of the ratings. I got a problem with some of the ratings. The quarterback ratings is irking me a little bit. First off, Aaron Rodgers is a 90 overall. Aaron Rodgers is a 90 overall. He the seventh best quarterback in the game because he had a quote-unquote bad season. 25 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Green Bay had a bad season. But he's the 7th-ranked quarterback on the game. 90. Matt Ryan's at 89. Ugh. Despite the fact that he threw for 35 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, over 100 QB rating. Numbers similar to his MVP seasons. But again, he had to suffer because the Falcons were 7-9. That's my biggest gripe with the quarterbacks. The fact that Aaron Rodgers is the 7th best quarterback in the game. Just think about that. Aaron Rodgers, only a 90. It kind of make you not even want to buy the game. Another disrespectful-ass rating on Madden 2020 is Deshaun Watson being an 82 overall with 84 speed. The guy right above him at 83 is Baker Mayfield with 82 speed. So what you telling me is Baker Mayfield is damn near faster than Deshaun Watson. I'm going to be like Keenan Allen. Who does this shit, man? So Baker Mayfield better than Deshaun Watson? For real? Wow. The dude, Deshaun Watson, threw for 4,000 and ran for 500. Did you see what he did his rookie year? Did you see? Well, I can't think of it right off the top of my head, and I don't want to look it up on my computer, but was it 19 TDs, 3 picks, and then he tore his ACL, man. People raving about Baker Mayfield's rookie season, which was great, but that record wouldn't be broken if Deshaun Watson got to finish the season. And now Madden is telling me that Baker Mayfield better than Deshaun Watson. That is some criminal stuff. I'm changing all the ratings on Madden. I'm giving my own ratings, dog. Deshaun Watson at least a 90 with them stats, bruh. Like, come on. I'm changing my ratings on Madden because they messed it up. Pat Mahomes, top quarterback on the game, 97, and rightfully so. It's not what I had a problem with. What I got the problem with is who's slightly beneath him at a 96. Still, at 42 years old, Tom Brady. And then Phillip Rivers, a 94. That's another question mark. But Tom Brady, 96 overall to Pat Mahomes, 97. Why did he... Because he won a Super Bowl. The Patriots won a Super Bowl. I hate when you talk about quarterbacks and you get to talk about quarterbacks and then you say, well, these Super Bowl rings, the Patriots won Super Bowl rings. Tom Brady does not win Super Bowl rings. The Patriots do. Y'all going to stop that. So he's slightly under Pat Mahomes, though, talent-wise right now. Oh, nah. Tom Brady didn't just hand off the ball to Sony Michel and win a Super Bowl that way. The Patriots' playoff run last season was based on Sony Michel's running the ball. What was y'all watching, Madden folks? And you other people who keep talking about... If you come to me in my face and tell me that Tom Brady is still the best quarterback in the league, I'm liable to slap your ass, man. For real. Like, stop. Stop. The Phillip Rivers, 94, better than Drew Brees, Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers. Do I really need to even get into that blasphemy right there? Get out of here, man. But Aaron Rodgers, 90, BS. Deshaun Watson, 82, one number behind Baker Mayfield, BS. Tom Brady, still a 96 on the game, BS. Let's get to this mock draft now. I'm going to do a 12-man mock draft, half PPR, and I'm going to draft from the sixth spot. Because if I take the top few picks, you know who I'm going to get. There's a dilemma in the middle of the round of who you want to get and stuff like that. I won't draft exactly how I would draft, but I'm going to give you an idea of where you should go if you're at this spot. And I'm going to use Fantasy Pro, so it's not going to take long for me. It'll sim all the computer's picks real quick. That's the site I used to do it if I don't have regular people. So I'm going to start it up, 12-man, half PPR from the sixth spot. Let's see. I just use my own league settings right here. And we're going to chop it up real quick and do this. So, boom, I'm six. I got a choice between David Johnson, DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams, Travis Kelce. Those are top four guys they suggest. So I'm going to keep it to those top four. I won't go searching for who I like. Just to give you an idea. Now, with the running back situations that's going on, I'm still going to pass on David Johnson here. Because I like the depth at running back. So I'm going to get a top receiver in the game. Even though I have Julio as my number one overall, I'm going to take DeAndre Hopkins here at number six as my wide receiver one. That means I'll be able to wait a little bit before I get my wide receiver two. And now I'm on the clock again on the wraparound. I could go running back. We got Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb at running back, Damian Williams and Fournette. Or I could go wide receiver heavy with A.B., Mike Evans, Keenan Allen. I got Hopkins, so I don't need to do that. I'm going to pick up Dalvin Cook right here because I believe he'll be a top three running back. All right. Now here we go again. I'm back on the clock. Leonard Fournette, Aaron Jones, Marlon Mack, Kieran Johnson. I'm going to go running back again because, like I said, I got D. Hopkins. He's Obviously, we know he's elite. It's tough right here. Between Fournette, Aaron Jones, and Marlon Mack. I'm gonna go with Fournette, cause clear workhorse. I bet you can't even name his backup off the top of your head. You could do that for Green Bay. Williams behind Jones, and then Marlon Mack. You got Nyheim Hines. So I'm gonna go Leonard Fournette here. So now I got Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette, who were both injured last year. So you may have some concerns about that, but the upside is phenomenal. When they stay on the field. Now I got the real dilemma in the fourth round, because now my top receivers is Chris Godwin, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Lockett, Alshon Jeffrey. I'm gonna go Chris Godwin here. Bruce Arians already said he could see him getting 100 catches. They'll have to throw a lot. Don't think the defense is great. On a turn, I definitely want to go running back as my flex here. We got Phillip Lindsay, Kenyon Drake, Mark Ingram, David Montgomery. Phillip Lindsay fully healthy. But I'm going to go David Montgomery because I believe he finishes inside the top 15. He'll be my flex here. And I like his situation with the Bears. He'll do what they wanted Josh Howard to do last season. The tight end that I want, Eric Ebron, is gone. So I'm going to – not Eric Ebron, I'm sorry, Evan Ingram. He's gone. Eric Ebron is available. So I'm going to look to just get some depth. Quarterbacks, not going to bite yet. Still early for me. Maybe I'll go receiver. I got Mike Williams, Corey Davis, Dante Pettis, and Marvin Jones. Easily going to go Mike Williams there. 11 touchdowns on limited amount of catches. He can only get better. I'll come back with that and go running back. Now I'm in the seventh round and got Kenyon Drake, Mark Ingram, Chris Carson, and James White. I'm going to go Kenyon Drake here in the seventh round. I like that value there because you don't have the pressure of having to start him. Now we got eighth round. Let's look at the quarterbacks. We got Cam Newton, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Big Ben. I got Carson Wentz in my top five, so I'm going to go him at number eight, well, in the eighth round. So I got my one quarterback. I won't pick another one to the last pick in the draft. Let's go check out tight ends. I got to get one here in the ninth round. Njoku and Vance McDonald. I like the opportunities for Vance McDonald a little more. Plus, he had that mean-ass stiff arm last year. I'll go Vance McDonald. And then I could go back-to-back, get Austin Hooper, Trey Burton, Delanie Walker. I'll get some more wide receiver depth here. Go Devin Funchess in the 11th. I like that value with the offense. Andrew Luck. Let's go running back right here. We got McKinnon. See, I'm gonna skip the running backs. We got McKinnon, Hines, Ito Smith, and Deontay Foreman. I'd get one of those guys if I had the guy in front of him. Maybe I could go back to receiver. Stills, I don't want anything having to do with the Dolphins. I'll go Trey Burton here. I'll get my backup tight end, Trey Burton, in that swaggy, naggy offense. You like that? No, I like Jordan Reed as a backup, too. I should have waited. Cam Newton still on the board in the 12th. But I'm, you know what? I'll take that. Gotta take that. That's great value. What I'm going to do now is get just another running back in the 13th and 14th. I'll take we got Chris Thomas, C.J. Anderson, Ito Smith, or receiver John Brown, Crowder, Robert Foster. I'll go Jamison Crowder, slot guy, intermediate guy. We'll go there with it. Then for my running back, last pick, kicker and defense, it don't really matter. I'll take only Jamal Williams, Chris Thomas, and C.J. Anderson, and Giovanni Bernard is available. So I'm going to just take Chris Thompson. So my starting lineup, I got Carson Wentz at quarterback, Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette at running back, DeAndre Hopkins at receiver, Chris Godwin at a receiver, Vance McDonald, and David Montgomery in the flex with a bench of Mike Williams, Kenyon Drake, Devin Funchess, Trey Burton, Cam Newton, Jamison Crowder, and Chris Thompson. That's my 12-man mock draft, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Follow me at Fantasy Football Lord on the gram, but you probably do if you're listening to this already. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll get at you next time.